Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, welcome back to Shed Talk. I'm your host, Sean. Thanks for stopping in. And my new guest that's coming in has some information to give out to us. She actually has a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. She also has the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and she has a certificate for personal trainer. Her name is Autumn. How you doing, Autumn?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had an opportunity to look into some of the things that you do and what you're into. I mean, you seem like you have a very busy life going on right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like to stay busy, though.
Yeah, so let's just dive directly into it. And how do you blend both of them as far as in being a nurse and eventually led you into being a certified personal trainer? How did you get into that?
Well, I always knew that, like, I wanted to help people, and I didn't really know what that looked like. Funny enough, when I first was trying to figure out what direction I wanted to go when I went to college, I was pre-med, I was going to go to med school, and then I shadowed a nurse, and I realized that nurses actually do what I wanted to do, which was be more bedside and be able to be more hands-on with my patients. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of shifted gears, and I went that direction, got my nursing degree, started working, started helping people. I felt fulfilled in that aspect. But I realized that there was a big lack of people preventing themselves from going to the hospital.
Right.
And I had already kind of fallen in love with fitness while in college. And I realized that there was kind of like a correlation between the two, and that, hey, I can use my knowledge in both areas to kind of complement each other. I realized that I can help people in that aspect.
Yeah. So take me through it. Was there just like a certain day or a certain time where a light bulb went off and you're like, hey, these two can actually work together?
I want to say it was more so I worked during COVID fresh out of college, and there was people doing things like during COVID, there was a lot of people who were sick, who had comorbidities is what we call it. So like heart disease, kidney disease, stuff like that, things that are preventable. And I realized that was putting them at risk for more complications.
Right.
And I realized that if we can help prevent those things or help control those things and minimize them, we can minimize the amount of other comorbidities that they could have.
Right. So. Okay. So now how does being with your nursing background that you have, how does that give you an edge on the fitness world and vice versa?
So definitely gives me a little bit of an edge, more so because in both realms, you learn a term called scope of practice. And as a trainer, there are certain things that you can or cannot say legally. Mm-hmm. In order obviously to not get sued, or just like I said, within your scope of practice, there's things that personal trainers cannot say. They cannot interpret certain things. And me being a nurse, I can kind of give my nursing education because that is something that is in my scope of practice as a nurse. I can educate, I can teach, I can inform, and then I can refer out as needed. So I can kind of like look at people's lab values and say, this looks pretty good. We don't really need to do anything. Or if something looks super abnormal, I can refer them out to a provider and kind of have partnerships with providers that I can refer out to. I can help them with certain things like education on diet. That's within both scopes of practices.
Isn't that like the biggest thing that, you know, as a Western diet out how we live and what we grew up on. And we know that, you know, all these different issues that we have with the human body, that it can be preventive, you know?
Exactly.
You know, as far as... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I always say that it's 80% what you're eating and then 20% what you're doing.
Yeah, isn't it crazy how, like, a lot, some people, not everybody, they, I guess you could say, they show up to the party kind of late to where they wait till their check engine light comes on before they want to actually change their lifestyle. And I find it, you know, just remarkable that individuals that choose to go down this lifestyle change, their bodies immediately respond to them, you know?
Exactly. And it's so crazy because it's like, if they would have just done that in the first place, they would have never had, like you said, that check engine light come on. But a lot of people, like you said, they kind of realize that they're like, oh, this would have been way easier from the beginning.
Right.
If they would have just done it. But
right, right.
Better late than never.
that is true. That is true. If, you know, if you're waking up another day, that means that he's not done with you. You know, you're still, we're all still a work in progress. Now, let me ask you this, going back to with your personal training and your nursing, as far as in with your clients and the patients that you had an opportunity to talk to and give them some type of notes and way that they can go about changing their life, do you have any stories without saying any names of where they did a dramatic change in their life and it affected their lives to a better day?
Oh, for sure. I mean, first of all, medication is not cheap. If you know anything about anything in American healthcare, medications are very expensive and they add up over time. So like I've had patients that are on certain like heart medications or they have high cholesterol, high blood pressure. And I've actually been able to help those clients get off of those medications. So that's really cool. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about being a trainer is helping people. Those are the biggest things, like heart problems, and then diabetes is another thing. So we look at people's what we call hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of your blood sugar and how well it's controlled over time. It can tell us if you're a diabetic, pre-diabetic. And one thing with working out, we're actually able to help clients lower that, and people who have been pre-diabetic, not even be pre-diabetic anymore, or people that are type 2 diabetic can get down to being, you know, almost like at a pre-diabetic level. And some people can even get off of insulin. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, I would say that, you know, that's nowadays it's kind of like when people say like, hey, I got diabetes, they take it as if it's just like a common cold and they don't understand the severity of it can impact your life immediately, you know?
Yes. And that's what I'm like, back when I worked during COVID, one of the comorbidities that was making people even more sick was diabetes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So as far as in when it goes with your fitness journey, is it really intense for you to actually help individuals get on this journey? As in, when they say, hey, I want to change. Do you have some people who are like, hey, this isn't for me? Now, do you change the gears to where it's like, okay, well, this isn't working for you. Let's try these little steps. Is that something like your approach that you have customers with?
Yes. So it's all about willingness to change. And there's some people who will come to you and say, I'm willing to change. They start doing the things. And I will kind of take a couple steps back for them. But even after taking a couple steps back, they're really not motivated. They're not as motivated as they thought they were. And that's fine. You know what? I just tell them, I don't want to waste your money or my time. So come back when you're ready. I'm here. I want to help you, but you have to want to help yourself first. Right. But, you know, there are people who are very motivated, like, one of my best friends is actually one of my clients right now, and she is extremely motivated, but she has certain things that will come up, like certain time constraints, or she's dealt with her own health issues over the course of us working together. So it's like, okay, we'll take a step back. And like, we've gone from doing like, we'll do four workouts a week to 2 to 3 workouts a week, and just increasing our steps and focusing more on our diet. And so like for her, that's been more attainable given her situation.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, it's sound, I mean, obviously you're busy with nursing, you're busy with the clients as well. How do you actually, let's talk about burnout. Now, I know that's a big, it has to be a thing, like with healthcare and fitness. How do you protect your own energy?
So the biggest thing with preventing burnout, you have to be willing to say no and willing to put your own boundaries up and don't let these big corporations and companies abuse you, basically. So for me, part of that, as a nurse, I was able to take a step back and I actually started travel nursing. Right. So that's been very nice to me in the sense that if I do get burnt out, I only have like 4 weeks of a contract left and then I can take a couple weeks off. So like right now I'm taking a couple weeks off because my last contract wasn't bad. It was just, it was very busy and I had a lot going on. So like I'm able to take more time to myself. And then I guess as far as with like clients and stuff, kind of the same thing I said earlier, if I have clients that are burning me out because I'm giving them so much time and, you know, I truly care about my clients, so I'm going to go above and beyond for them. And if I'm giving them that time and they're still not willing to try and they're just like not making any progress, I'm going to say, hey, again, come back when you're ready. Like, I want to help you, but I can't want it more than you want it.
Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had somebody professional ever question, like, why are you doing both? And like, what is your response if somebody says, like, why are you doing this professional on this level?
Yes, I get that question all the time. So it's funny, as a, like when I'm working in healthcare, my coworkers, I kind of keep it low key at first. And then when they find out, when one person finds out that I'm a personal trainer, then they all find out. But I always say that personal training is actually my fun job. I enjoy doing it because I enjoy helping people. Right. And, you know, those clients, yeah. And those clients actually want to help themselves. So it's just funny to me whenever people want to question that, I'm like, some people think, oh, it's the money aspect. Oh, she wants to make more money. No, I truly just enjoy helping people. And to me, helping people as a trainer actually prevents me from getting burnt out as a bedside nurse.
Really, really. So yeah. I look at it like looking at both of the fields that you're in here, you actually focus on personal training, getting people healthy, keeping them healthy, so you don't end up seeing them in the hospital.
Yep.
I like that.
I don't want to see you here again.
Right, right. So what is one of the common myths that with nursing and fitness that you love that is out there that you haven't heard about?
Like, as far as like excuses that people will give?
Like, what are some of the excuses that you know, people hear this? And you find out, like, hey, that's not true. That's not true.
I have a couple.
Okay, let's know. Let the listeners know.
Let's see. Probably the biggest one I get, well, there's two of them. So if I forget, remind me. One is people not wanting to get too bulky. And then one is people complaining about pain. So we'll start with the bulky. People are like, oh, I don't want to lift weights. I don't want to do resistance training because I don't want to look bulky. Right. Well, that's a pretty big myth. It takes people years and years and years of consistent lifting, training super heavy, training till failure. And sometimes people will use PEDs to get to that point. But, you know, women who look bulky, a lot of times it's because they did sports their whole lives, or they just have the genetics to look like that. Not everybody has those genetics. And actually building muscle and resistance training helps create a toned look, because what you're doing when you're building muscle, you're increasing what we call your basal metabolic rate, which is the number of calories that you're burning at rest. Mm-hmm. And having more muscle will burn more calories at rest. And it will in turn reduce your amount of body fat. So it will give you that toned look that people like.
Okay, so with this information here, do you do competitions for bodybuilding or anything like that?
So I am actually a competitive bodybuilder, but I do not currently train other bodybuilders. I would like to at some point, but the biggest thing, so I mostly do lifestyle clients and weight loss clients.
Right.
I will eventually take on competition clients, but myself, I want to get more versed in it. myself and be more knowledgeable before I'm just throwing people through it, because that's a problem with a lot of competition coaches nowadays.
Now, as far as in my viewers are out there and my listeners are listening to this, as far as, and can you walk us through some foods that they may want to implement into their life that would help them out, and what they may want to walk away from?
Yes. So the biggest thing is actually whenever people ask me and they say, hey, I would like to lose weight or I would like to do X, Y, Z, the two main things that I tell them, one, increase your water intake. I drink one of these to one and a half of these a day.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too as well.
Go ahead. I was going to say, the second thing that I always say is increase your protein intake. So people will ask, they're like, oh, well, I don't like protein shakes, so your powdered protein shakes. You don't even have to do that to increase your protein. There's so many ways to do it. And if you're not sure, ask somebody that's knowledgeable in it. So, for example, egg whites, pure protein. You could do 99% lean ground turkey. You don't even have to do that lean of a ground turkey if you don't want to, but adding more chicken, or like one of my favorite things is swapping out sour cream for 0% Greek yogurt. It sounds bizarre, but it tastes just like sour cream and it's pure protein. So use that for like my ranch.
So here's the thing that I was looking into, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the Western diet is set up for individuals to eat for taste instead of for nourishment. Once you start to eat correctly, the foods that have the correct nourishment, the taste goes out the window. Your mindset is not focused on the taste. It's more focused on the nourishment. Is that correct, or am I wrong with that one?
I mean, it's yes and no. Like, it kind of goes out the window, but you can make healthy foods, which I actually consider those normal foods. I don't like to label them as healthy because that's what I eat every day. But
what do you like? You know, just a little bit. What are some of the things that you implement that you eat?
Oh my gosh! So, like in the morning, I usually during off season, my favorite meal for breakfast is avocado toast. So I like 2 pieces of sourdough bread, I put some avocado on it, and then eggs and egg whites. So I do quite a bit of egg whites just to increase the volume, and it's more protein. And then I eat that together. That's like my favorite thing.
how often do you eat throughout the day? Is it all the time, or you have certain times that you eat?
Yeah, so about 5 to 6 meals a day, and it depends on, so like the normal person, I'd say probably about 5 meals. I'm a bodybuilder, so for me, it's a little bit different, especially when I'm bulking. Right. But I tell people to focus on protein-dense meals and eat smaller meals, but more frequently. So like every 3 to 4 hours.
Okay, so, you know, let's get back over here to working out. A lot of times, everybody at the top of the year, they want to go ahead and get that good membership. And everybody says, this is the time that I'm going to make a change. Now, it all sounds good for the first couple of weeks. You got a whole bunch of people that are working out, and then they start to fall off. Now, is it because of, from your experience, is it because of they get bored, or is it because they get sore and they're like, I don't want to hurt no more? Like, what is the main reason that you think why people fall off from doing that?
There's two things. I think either A, they're not seeing the results they want, so they give up. And then the second thing is, like, people will do, like, a fad diet and working out consistently for, like, 1 month, 2 months straight. Like, for example, the keto diet. They'll do the keto diet and then work out for, like, 2 months, and then they got the weight that they wanted, they achieved their goal weight, and then they just stopped. They're like, okay, I did it, now what? You know, they kind of just give up. But then a lot of times they gain all of that back, because it's more about consistency. And I always tell people, like, don't even follow a fad diet. Like, that is going to burn you out of your fitness so quick, rather than just being, if you want to lose weight, be in a caloric deficit and then be eating a consistent high amount of protein, and you're going to get there.
Okay, so as far as in, it's like, you know, the dad bods, and they want to lose this weight and they want to get back into the shape. And what would you say is probably the best approach for, you know, guys? I mean, they want to get bulky though. They're already bulky, but they want to trim down. What would you say is the key thing to do besides taking in water?
Protein intake and cardio. You should be doing cardio about 30 minutes three times a week.
30 minutes three times a week.
And that's from my nursing background, not even just as a personal trainer. That is something we learn in nursing school.
Yeah, let's flip over to that side of it. Now, as far as in the nursing side, why is that very important for that aspect?
Yeah, so it's important because cardio is very good for training your heart and to, I guess, build strong muscle in your heart so that you're able to function better, I guess, for lack of a better term. Because, you know, if you have certain things like you have high blood pressure or you have a low heart rate, doing that will actually increase the amount of blood flow to the certain blood vessels that are in your heart. So there's a lot of science behind it, but it's very healthy to do it, and it will overall help your brain and your brain function and your heart, like I said.
Okay, that definitely sounds like very good information. Now let me ask you this question here. Whenever it comes to the fluid intake, how much did you say that a person should take in a day? What would you say that they need to take as a good amount?
So I always say, like, try to aim for at least half a gallon to a gallon of water a day.
Okay. That definitely can actually help out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But some people, you know, if they are only drinking like a cup of water a day and that's them on a good day, I would say start small. Like, don't overdo it. Don't make yourself feel miserable. Do increase it to like 2 cups a day. Or, okay, so like some people will carry on, I don't have one handy right now, but like just like your water bottle or like a Stanley cup, or, you know, people have those little hydro jug things now. If you're drinking one of those a day, okay, try to do 2 of those a day and then keep trying to increase it.
Now, as far as in when it gets down to cutting that window daily. So say you got a long day at work, you come home, you want something to eat, you eat something healthy, but sometimes we get up in the middle of the night to eat. What do you have advice for people that get up in the middle of the night and grab something to eat?
Yeah, so I was actually a victim of this for a long time myself. Hey, look,
I am the same way. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been starting to do that little standby on too, where I'll put like something small in the refrigerator that is healthy.
Yes,
if
exactly.
I do get up in the middle of the night.
Yep. And that's what I tell people, even if it's not just the middle of the night, if you're throughout the day and say you're feeling snacky, just period, grab something healthy. So go grab an apple. Are you willing to eat that apple? Yes or no? Yes. Right. Okay. I ate that apple. Am I still feeling snacky? Am I still feeling hungry? If the answer is still yes, then go ahead and have something. Satisfy that craving. Don't deprive yourself, because then you're going to end up binging on that later on. But say you get up and you start feeling snacky, you drink some water first, and then you reach for that apple and you look at it, you're like, actually, I don't feel like eating this. Then you know what? You weren't actually hungry. Maybe you were just thirsty. And I think that's a big issue, is a lot of times people mistake their hunger cues for actually being thirsty or dehydrated.
Now, let me ask you this question. I looked it up online. Is there a large amount of individuals across the United States are dehydrated on a daily basis and we don't even realize it?
Yes. The amount of people, and like as a nurse, the amount of people that I've realized by looking at their lab values are just probably walking around dehydrated, or they're low on electrolytes like potassium and magnesium just on a daily, is crazy. It's almost every single person I've came across.
Why is that? Can you like what have y'all figured? I mean, obviously, like, you know, it's not that easy, but what have you seen? Like, what do you think? Why do you think that is, that so many people are dehydrated?
I mean, one thing, salt intake can dehydrate you. And our diet as Americans is very salt centric, if that makes sense. But also just, you know, first thing in the morning, most people aren't reaching for a glass of water as soon as they roll out of bed. They're reaching for what? Coffee.
You're exactly right. You know, that's one thing that I focused on. I switched over to the Mediterranean lifestyle. I wouldn't call it a diet because it's a lifestyle for myself.
It is. Yeah, exactly.
And I would tell you that first thing that I do before, you know, whenever I get up out of the bed, I grab a glass of water. I normally have one beside my bedstand, and it's room temperature, and I'm okay with that. And it kind of makes me feel like it's the weirdest thing, because when it goes through your body, you can actually feel it going through your organs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my body was thirsty. You know, was like, you know, so, you know, let me understand this right here. As far as in when it comes down to people that eat late at night, when do you think there should be a window of cutting off eating before you go to bed?
I'm a very research focused person, and I've tried to do my own research on this. I still need to do some more research.
Uh-huh.
I used to say there's a cutoff time by like 8-9 PM. I should have my last meal. Whatever time you go to bed, just try to have your last meal in about 2 hours before that is all I say.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're not going to harm anything. The only thing, it gets, again, very sciencey, like from the nursing aspect, your cortisol levels and your blood sugar levels fluctuate throughout the night. So you can kind of like mess that up a little bit by eating too close to bedtime. That's all.
Yeah. That definitely makes a lot of sense. Now, let me ask you this other question here, Autumn. Now, if you could give one piece of advice, health advice, that would apply to everyone, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question.
All kinds of them, right?
Yeah.
What is one that you would say?
I mean, like the biggest thing would just be stay consistent and don't give up, because the consistency is what's going to show your health journey, your fitness journey is going to go like this. Mine's gone like this. Mine's gone like this. And then it's gone like this before it went back up, you know? But overall, if you stay consistent, you're going to see the results you want. Like I've been working out since 2016, and I am just now seeing the results that I wanted this whole time.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, that's one thing that we look for, and it's not good. We look for that instant gratification.
Yes.
We're like, you know, I go to the gym, I need to see results before I get to the house that same day, you know? Right. I mean, that's what we would like. And when we look in the mirror at the gym, I kind of feel like, you know, we want to see something. But from your experience, would you say it takes some time, and it's all case by case basis on when you will see those results?
Yes, it's very case by case. And I always tell people, the faster you get the results you want, the faster you'll probably lose it. So like I was saying with the fad diets, if you follow that diet for 2 months and you get the results you want and you start eating the way you were before, you're going to gain all that back. But if you take the time to lose it slowly over time, then it's going to stay off.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that you got to change your input of as far as your food goes, and you got to stay hydrated. Now, let me ask you this other question right here. What is next for you? Is there any other certifications you're going for? Any goals, any projects that you're working on?
So there's a couple things. One, I would like to get, I actually have a background in nutrition just from college, but I never finished my minor in it. So I would like to get my nutrition certification. But eventually I will be going back to school to get my nurse practitioner, and I would like to open up a health clinic, like a more of like a weight loss clinic, or like a med spa with a weight loss clinic in it as a nurse practitioner. And I'm kind of a nerd. I really want to focus on our genetics and how that can vary on a case by case basis. And say you have patient X, and patient X is able to lose weight and keep it off. And then you have patient Y, and patient Y is not able to lose half as much as patient X. Okay, let's look at their genetics. What is different about their genetics what are genes that we can switch on or off, or how can we tailor their workouts or tailor their weight loss program to their specific genetics. So I eventually want to go that route, but it's going to take a lot of schooling and time, but I'm all about it and I love research. So
yeah, you're definitely diving deep into this information here. Now, as far as you were talking about the genetics, and that's something that you want to look into. Now, is it to where, like, I hear a lot of times people say, well, it runs in my family. It runs in my family. It runs in my family. And then you'll meet some people in families that have no issues that other family members have. Like in my family, high blood pressure runs very deep, supposedly, in the family, you know? Now, I always was like, oh, you know what? Whenever I get to this age, I know I'm going to have high blood pressure. But you know, knock on wood, I haven't been down that road yet. Now, is that a marker, or is that a myth, or you know, people say, oh, it's just in my family. Like, can you break that down for us?
Yeah, like it's not a myth that genetics do play a big role in that, and I'm kind of the same way. High cholesterol runs in my family. So I've been getting my cholesterol check since I was like 16 years old because that's how bad my dad is.
Right.
But you know, you can take the preventative measures to prevent yourself from getting to that point. And I hit that point myself where I was like, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to have my dad also has high blood pressure. I don't want to go down the road of having to take all those medications. And that's why I was like, okay, what can I do now to prevent that? And for me, that was like working out. And that's when it all started back in 2016, was kind of that realization of like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, just because I'm at risk for it doesn't mean that it has to be that way.
Yeah.
And then
if it
does happen, at least I was trying to prevent it. You know what I mean?
That is true. That really is true. Now, if individuals want to be able to get a hold of you and want to obtain your services, do you have anything available online services? Because not everybody lives in the same area.
Yes. So I actually just launched my online coaching program. So I can definitely send you over that information. It's basically like having a personal trainer. It's just all online. And I actually utilize an app now. So right. I would basically have people fill out my intake form. I would make sure we're a good match, because that's also important, making sure that you're in alignment with your potential future trainer. And then I put the workouts on there. I can give you meal guidance if you need it, or if you want macros, I can do that too. And then we can tailor things as needed. I do weekly check-ins with my clients and then monthly video calls.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, I will definitely make sure that this is available on the bottom of this episode on here, that where they'll be able to click on it and be able to get a hold of you. Are you on any social media sites that you would like for them to get a hold of you on, or anything like that?
Yeah, so they can get a hold of me wherever. I'm both on TikTok and Instagram, and my link tree is in both of those, and you can actually get to each of them from that link tree. So
awesome. You know what, hey, this is a lot of good information, and I love the fact that you know you have the visual of the medical side of it, and also the natural way to take care of your health side of it.
Yes.
You know, so like a lot of people aren't looking for that shot or that pill to take to do that. They want to actually put the work in. And you seem to be the person that can, hey, I can point you in the right direction, the natural good way to get your health in the right perspective. That's awesome, Autumn.
I personally think it's more rewarding to do it that way as well.
But yes. I mean, everything is, it's always better when it's natural. You know, one thing I'm a real big believer on is the fact is that, you know, if you treat your body as a sports car, everybody's body's a sports car, regardless of your outer shell or whatever have you on the outside. Inside, we are pretty much all built the same. I feel that with your car being a sports car, you want to put the best fuel in it. So when you're putting the correct fuel in that vehicle, the vehicle is going to run better. If you're doing all this junk foods and junk stuff like that, you're going to, if you eat like crap, you're going to feel like crap. If you eat good, you're going to feel good. I think it has something to do with your mental as well.
Yeah. And it's, that goes along with like eating to fuel yourself. Like if you eat a bag of Doritos and then you go work out, ask yourself, how do I feel right now? How is my body feeling? If I eat chicken and rice before I go work out, okay, how am I feeling? Do I feel like I have more energy to continue my workout?
That is so good there. Hey, Autumn, I appreciate you taking the time to come over here and talk to me here on the show.
Yes.
This is great information. And all the links will be available for everybody to get a hold of Autumn so that she can help you on your health journey if you have any questions. And she's open to new client bases. So, we'll go from there.
Sweet. Hey. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Autumn, for coming on. And this is Sean on Shed Talk, and we are out. See y'all.